Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Woo! All right, you guys ready? We're starting a new series. I love it. Let me introduce myself. If I have not met you yet, my name's Pastor Cherie. I'm one of the pastors here, and I love it when I get to start us off on a new series. It's just fun. So we're starting this new series, Under the Influence. And if this is your first time, you don't know, but we've been going through the book of Matthew for a while now, and we're just taking our time through it. We're really digging in deep, and there has been some good stuff. We are done with In My Feelings. Is anyone excited about that? It was a challenging one. Yeah, see, I saw a couple nods. They're like, whoo! It was a challenging one. And I feel like every single week, somebody came up here and they were like, really challenging word I'm going to give today, guys. And I can only imagine from you guys out there, you're like, every week is like this. This isn't any different. And no, I'm just kidding. Kind of. Under the Influence is going to be so good. And in preparation for this sermon series, I went onto YouTube. Holy, I know. I went onto YouTube and I typed the word influence into my YouTube search. And about 90% of what popped up was the song Under the Influence, just like this, by Chris Brown. The lyrics to this song I will not be putting up on the screen this morning. However, the song speaks of using mood-altering drugs, having sex without regard, and more. And if the lyrics didn't paint a clear enough picture, there's a music video clarifying anything left to the imagination. Society's voice is loud. To hear the thoughts and the opinions of society keeps getting easier and easier every single day. To experience the ways of society is not something we have a choice on. We experience the ways of society every single day in every single thing we do. Naturally, we are under the influence of society. But this didn't surprise Jesus or catch him off guard. In fact, as we've been reading in Matthew so far, he warned us of this. Over and over and over again, he said, "You've heard it said." Jesus knew that this world was going to immerse us in a culture that's not our own. A culture that we're not supposed to be residents of. And many people have taken that to mean that they need to do anything and everything to escape culture, escape society, stay far away from it as humanly possible. And once again, this way of thinking did not surprise Jesus. We've seen it over and over again, Jesus state, "You've heard it said." If you've been here for the book of Matthew, what does he always follow that statement up by? But I say. Everybody say, but I say.
But I say.
Jesus provides us with a perfect roadmap to be able to live in this world, be a part of this world, be in this society and immersed in this culture that he created for us and still be under his influence. Let's jump into our text for today. We're in Matthew chapter 5, verses 46 through 48. Side note, Pastor AV saved me this week. You guys know that I've been gone for a little while, and I was totally preparing for a message that has already been preached. And she was like, "Hey, different sermon. We're here, we're good. It's all good." Chapter 5, verses 46 through 48. "For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. We're going to break that down today. But Jesus says, I'm going to show you the way you should live. Then I'm going to preach the way you should live. Then it's going to be written down. There's going to be a written record of the way you should live for all future generations to refer back to. And this is what we're going through. This is what we're looking at. Is we're looking at Jesus coming and showing, and then preaching, and then there being a written record of that preaching for us to read today. And that's what we're doing. The first thing, if we're going to break down Matthew chapter 5, the first thing that I see is in verse 46. It's practice loving well. Verse 46 says this, for if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? In today's, in our context, that doesn't mean nearly as much as it meant in the context that it was written in. In the Roman system of taxation, taxation was frequently characterized by tax farming, where an individual would bid to collect taxes for the Roman government throughout an entire district, and then add on a surcharge or a commission, which was often exorbitant, which they kept for themselves as their profit. They were viewed as traitors to their own people and were not well liked. In addition, the system offered many opportunities for dishonesty and greed, both of which were often associated with tax collectors. So it's almost as if Jesus is saying, even the traitors, the thieves, dishonest, greedy people do that. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Do not even the greedy, dishonest traitors do that? I often see appreciation posts on social media. And whether it's for a birthday or just a shout out, I see people describe someone and they say, so-and-so is a person who loves their family and their friends so well. You've seen it, right? You've seen it before. And at first, I didn't think anything of it. But just recently, it's kind of like gotten me thinking. Sure, there's always exceptions to the rule, but doesn't everybody love their friends and the people that love them most? Don't they always love them well? Isn't that like pretty standard? So when people say they love their family and their friends, they love those people that love them so well. There's nothing unique about that. That's not a compliment. That's just a statement. And it can be said about so many people. I want to be known as someone who loves every single person that I ever come in contact with. I want to be known as someone who goes out of their way to make someone feel felt and known and seen. That's what Jesus did. Jesus, when he's in verse 46 here and he says, don't even the tax collectors just do that? Basically what he's saying to them is he's like, how are you any different than anyone else? And when I read those posts on social media, that's what I've been thinking lately is I'm like, how are you different than anyone else? That's the main question that's being asked in this passage is how will you be different than anyone else? We're going to start by practicing loving people well. Well, Pastor Cherie, I don't even know what that looks like. It's never been demonstrated for me. I've never experienced someone loving me well. Well, Jesus to the rescue. He was never going to challenge us to live under his influence and then not tell us how. He would never do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is a short and easy read. And I think every single person should work to memorize the entire chapter. It's not a long chapter, but I think that it would do us well. If we're going to be a church who loves God and loves people, if we're going to be a church that practices loving well, I think that we should probably memorize the very roadmap that Jesus gave us for loving well. Right. Starting in verse 4, it says, love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. This is how we love well. And you might be thinking, Pastor Sheree, that sounds pretty scary. That sounds kind of vulnerable to love every single person I come in contact with this way. Sounds kind of frightening. It is. The truth is, relationship with Jesus is full of hard yeses. Yeah. It's a true sign that we are growing if we are consistently saying yes to Jesus' hard challenges. We are constantly being presented with new opportunities for hard yeses to Jesus. And this is no different. That's why we've themed 2023 as exponentially more. Because we understand that following Jesus is a series of hard yeses. And the question is, are you ready for that hard yes? This is a hard yes. This is a vulnerable yes. It's a yes that Jesus is asking not just a couple of us, right? This isn't something where you can say, oh, well, Jesus just really hasn't spoken to me about loving people yet. He has. He has a lot. And I can give you a whole list of times that he has talked to you in the Bible about loving people well. So nobody's exempt. We're all in this together. Let's go, right? The next challenge in this passage is found in verse 47. And if you only greet your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same. The word greet here in the Greek is more than just a hi. So we use, like, even on our scheduling, if you're part of the dream team, you might get scheduled to be a greeter. Somebody just came up to me today, and they were like, hey, it's my first time serving today. I'm a greeter. What does that mean? I said, smile and be nice to people. That's how I can most simply, what we are asking you to do, stand out here, smile, and be nice to people. That's not the word that we're talking about in here. That's not the Greek word for this word greet. Is actually, it's a welcoming still, but it's a whole attitude that lets somebody know. It's like a process. If you were to read into it with the customs of that time, it was a whole process that went towards people to show them that they are wanted, welcomed, embraced, and that they belong. In the English, we use the word hospitality. If we're going to be and live under the influence of Jesus, we need to pursue outrageous hospitality. The verse is saying, everyone says hi. Everyone can smile and be nice to people. That's just a common courtesy. That's what is meant when he said even the Gentiles do that. Because the Israelites, they were called to be a chosen and different people. Common courtesy was to smile and nod and say hello. But the Israelites were called to be more than that. They were called to live counterculturally. They were the first group of people called to live counterculturally. And so, because we are also now called to live counterculturally, we can look at the life of the Israelites and what they were called to, and our life now, and there's so many comparisons that we can make because we are called just like they were called. So it would be like Jesus saying, all of society is doing that, but how are you different? How do you open up your home to people? How do you go out of your way to make people feel welcomed, embraced, and like they belong? I will say that you all do a very good job when you're here at Hope City. When you are here, consistently, we have people coming through Growth Track, and the most common thread that we hear, because we always ask them the same question. Spoiler alert. If you haven't been to Growth Track, we're going to ask you this question. You can start preparing now for August. Why did you first come to Hope City, and why did you stay? And when they get to the part of why I stayed, it's always, almost always, because I felt like I was home. I felt loved. I felt accepted. I didn't feel judged. People smiled at me. People went out of their way to say hello to me. I felt loved. You guys are, that's all you. You guys do an incredible job of making sure people feel seen, loved, and accepted. But does it extend into your personal life? Do you make constant and consistent attempts to care for people in your life? I'm not talking about the easy ones. Anyone does that. I can always tell the mark of an outrageously hospitable person because they're always on the lookout for how they can serve others. They're always thinking about the little things that no one else thinks of. They're always noticing people and what they need. But most of all, they are almost never thinking about themselves and what benefits them most. Here's a tiny example. I was in a meeting this past week with one of our network leaders, and we were planning out an event that we do for leaders in Oregon, and we do it every year. And he says, you know what? People would just love and would be such a win and so much fun if we brought in a boba truck. I think I have a picture of boba in case you aren't sure. We'll go to that first one. Don't give away my second one yet. Now, to most of you, that's boba. So it comes in varying forms, but boba, everyone. We don't have a lot here in Medford. That's why I had to put the picture up. And if you do want it, you can pay $7.50 for it. So that's fun. I went to Thailand. I told you guys. I went to Thailand, got this exact same thing in the exact same cup with the same little straw and everything. And guess what I paid? $1.50. Said, I never want American boba again. Now, so he says, do you know what would be such a win? Boba. Now, to most of you, you're like, big deal. But what I happen to know about this leader is that he hates boba, despises it. He says, I don't want to chew my drink. That's what he says every single time it's brought up. And so I'm sitting in this meeting thinking about how he hates this, and he's going on and on about what a win it would be. Because in that moment, hospitality looked like, I don't care what I like. I know that the vast majority of leaders love this. And so it's going to be a huge win because people are going to love it and they're going to have fun with it. And I don't need any. I'm fine. And in that moment, I thought, that's hospitality. Thinking outside of yourself and always looking to show people love, honor, and care. And because I'm a youth pastor, and I can't help myself, I had to do this with Boba. I just had to. I had to. I think Jesus loves Boba. And the passage ends with a bang. Verse 48. So then, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Perfect? I heard it. That's a tall order. It's an impossible order. It sure is. But what a perfect reminder of our need for a Savior. What a perfect reminder that we need grace. We all need grace. And the more that we can recognize our own need for grace, the more we're able to extend grace to others. I'm about to use a real churchy word. And those of you who've been around Hope City for a little bit know that I hate churchy words. I think that the church should not have its own language. I think that anyone who walks in our door should be able to speak our language. And yet, here I am getting to... So, if you're keeping a Christianese dictionary, get them out, because we're adding a term today. All right. Sanctification. This verse is a call to sanctification. To sanctify means to be set apart. So, sanctification is the process of being set apart. Everybody say process. That's one of the most important words in that whole definition that I just gave you. It's a process. What we're doing, what we're called to, is a process. And that process is exactly what I said earlier. It's a series of yeses to hard things. And on the other side of that yes to a hard thing, you're just a little bit more like Jesus. You're just a little bit more set apart. And then there's going to be another yes that you have to say yes to. And on the other side of that really hard yes, you're just a little bit more set apart. You're just a little bit more like Jesus. If you say three yeses to Jesus, does that make you perfect? Like he's perfect? No. There's always more yeses. There's always more getting just a little bit closer and getting a little bit closer. A path going forward in this sanctification or this being set apart process requires following a path that in Jesus's best interest goes straight forward. Sometimes we make it a little bit crooked and twisty and turny, but it's a path that takes us to new levels of right living, new levels of all that God has asked of us and called us to be. God's plan is for us to be moving forward. And that's where we get to see exponentially more in our relationship with him. But we still need grace. We all still need grace.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.